The question today is, what obligation does the parents have to the children? We talked about that in part one, and this is part two. We said that it's the parents' responsibility or obligation, they're responsible for the development of their children. We've looked at the physical development. They're responsible for that. They're responsible for the mental development, as God gives capacity to develop in that area. And they're also responsible for their spiritual development. Now, you realize something. You need to teach them the first song. You need to build something inside them that will cause them to be what they need to be in the days to come. You need to do that and have something where God can deal with. You remember how that if you don't teach them right the things of God, I'll tell you, you're going to have a problem one day, because you remember how that Paul always went wherever he went. He went first to the synagogue, because you see, those people had an Old Testament foundation to build on. And today, most of our Baptist churches, and I'll speak about Baptists because I am one, most of our Baptist churches, the people in them don't have a foundation to build on. Why? Because we as parents didn't meet their responsibility to our children. Well, their parents didn't meet the responsibility to them. And we've got a snowball effect that's creating a problem. That's not dishonoring our parents, just telling the truth about that. We are to honor our parents in that sense of where we can. But I'm trying to help these younger people today and these younger parents to say, hey, I don't want to go make the same mistakes that mom and dad made. I want my children to be developed spiritually so that they'll have a foundation or fuel for fire that God can use when God's Spirit begins to deal with their heart when they reach the knowledge of accountability. So you need to allow the Holy Spirit to do that in the work. Don't play Holy Ghost, I said, as you develop them, but let God do that work. And then you need to have a personal prayer life, you see. And that's missing most of the time in our homes today. And they don't hear you pray, if you please. Listen, our children need to hear us pray at that time. But we waste our time, and we don't really pray like we should in front of them. I'm not talking about being mechanical, but say you just want them to live by your rules. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got that right. But really, my rules ought to be biblical rules. And you're going to live by my rules till they have rules of their own. And if they're in your house, that's the way you need to set it. Then when you get some of their own, when they get some of their own rules, they still live by my rules if theirs is not as good as mine, even as long as they're in my house. You say, well, you want them to operate on your conviction. That's true. Till they develop convictions as strong as mine or stronger than mine that's based upon the Word of God, my children need to operate on my convictions. You see, if you set your children down in a church where truth is not preached, is not a reality, and it's not preached, and it's not practiced. And let me say, a lot of people preach truth, a lot of Baptists preach truth, but they don't practice truth, and they practice in this easy believism, and they're leading people astray. If you set your children down in that church, and they make professions under that kind of a ministry, they're going to be wrecked and ruined and die and go to hell one day. And if you do that, if you set your children down in a church where truth is not a reality and it's not preached and practiced, then you're crippled too high for crutches. Really, you deceived and blinded yourself. You're void of the Spirit, and you need to be saved yourself. Now, I don't have sympathy for that crowd that stays with a church that leaves truth just for the sake of that local church. I mean, there's some people stay for a church when the church has already left truth, joined up with this ecumenical movement, and Lord help that crowd and this one world church movement that's moving today very strong around in areas, even here in our areas, if you please. But they'll stay with that church, because the graveyard's out there. Mom and daddy's buried out there, and grandma and grandpa's buried out there in the graveyard, or they got a name on a pew where they donated so much money and so forth. Hey, that's not right. It's amazing that people will drive 50 miles to work but won't drive 10 miles to church so they can get in on the truth. So we're responsible to have them in the right church. Don't set them down in the wrong church. We're responsible for what they do in that church. The Sunday school teacher ought not to have to come to you and say, I'm having a problem with your child. You ought to go to the Sunday school teacher and say, how's my child doing in your class? You ought to know what's going on in that class. You ought to say, are they involved? See to it they study the lesson. Ask them questions about the lesson when it's over. And I heard about a little boy one time that went to church, and his daddy and mama didn't go, but he went to church, and of course he probably didn't listen like most little ones don't, but still, he went to church, and he come home, and they asked him a question. Said, son, what did the preacher preach on today? He said, he preached on sin. And they said, well, what did he say about it? He thought for a little bit. He said, well, I really don't know, but I think he is against it. Okay, well, that may be all right, but you need to ask questions so they know what it's about when it's over. Rehearse those things. Revive it in their mind. You need to do that yourself as well. You're responsible for what they do, your children do, in a worship service. Why do you let your children sit in the back with other kids? I don't care if they're 16 years old. Why do they sit back there in the back? You know what they do in the back? They cut up. They play. It's their nature to do that. But they ought to sit by their parents or close enough to their parents so you can see them and correct them in the church without making a disturbance. I'm talking about it's your responsibility for their spiritual development. And you correct them in the church for the church's sake and for God's sake as well as their own sake and your sake. You see, don't let your children sit through a service and get nothing out of it. Write down something. Question those things. Go over it. In other words, you're responsible for the development of your children, physically, mentally, and spiritually. To fail to do so is really child abuse. If you don't feed a child, you're guilty of child abuse physically. Did you know that even a greater than physical abuse is that of spiritual abuse? Spiritual abuse, abusing your children spiritually. You're guilty if you don't teach them. Develop them spiritually. You see, if a child was to be abused physically and dies, that would be bad. But listen, if they've not reached the knowledge of accountability, they'd go to heaven. But if you abuse your children spiritually, they'll grow up and won't have a foundation for the Lord to build on. There won't be any fuel for fire, for the Holy Ghost conviction. And they'll disrespect the Lord because of your failure to develop them spiritually. And as a result, you have done an injustice to them because they'll die and they'll go to hell. May the Lord help us to meet our obligation as parents in the area of development. Now, there's another area that we're responsible for, and that's in the area of direction. Direction of our children. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train him up in the way he should go. And now you realize something. That means what it says. It doesn't say raise them right and they'll turn out right. Now, that's implied, but there's more than that. It doesn't say take them to church and they'll stay in church. In other words, you realize something. It doesn't say that. When you break it down, we explain this verse, you'll see. Now, really, folks, none of us have fulfilled Proverbs 22:6. Let me say this before. We're sinful. We're sinful men. We're frail. We've got problems of ourselves. None of us have reached the apex of that. And yet many people want to use that for a cop-out. Well, I carried my children to church. They've got a church and they'll come back. Don't count on it. You didn't do it right. I mean, I'm talking about our responsibility for direction. Now, what does that verse really say? Proverbs 22:6. He said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The word train means a continuous working. It means a continuous, consistent working. In other words, it's not a spontaneous whipping. You don't jerk him up and tie a knot in him, as expression is, as far as discipline is concerned. Training is to be done in the background and not in the public eye. For example, you take a football team, you might watch them on TV or something, or on Saturday night. You may go to the game and the stadium may be fulfilled on Friday or Saturday night, but you know what? That team is not in training on Friday or Saturday night. They're playing the game. But see, when the training's done is when nobody around, when the crowd's not around, and it's a constant, consistent working in the life of those players that trains those football players. And that's what he said, you need a continuous working, a consistent working in the life of your children. Now, he said train them up. He didn't say train them, he didn't say level, but he said up. That indicates a growing process, gaining of ground, if you please. Then he said train a child. The word for child is the word infant. Don't wait till they get older. You've got to start at the cradle. You see, when you bring them home from the hospital, you've got to start. If you don't, you've already waited too late. You've waited too late. You've got to start at that point in time. You say, they don't know nothing. Listen, I want to tell you, Samuel was a man, the boy that was raised up in the home, probably about 2.5 years old, in his mama's house till he was weaned. She carried him to Eli, who had trained his sons, and they were wicked men of Belial in 1 Samuel. But she put him and gave him back to God as the priest there, and he was under the priest Eli's instructions. And yet he turned out to be good because mama had instilled something in that boy at up to 2.5 year period of time. So you're going to have to start at the cradle. If you don't, you waited too late. It says train up a child in the way. That means to point a child from the cradle to the target you want him to hit when he's old. In other words, what do you want your child to be? Are you shooting them at the right target? The Bible says in the book of Psalms 127, it talks about how the children are an heritage of the Lord, and it said as arrows in a hand. Let me read that. Let me turn over there and read that. I don't have that ready for us right now, but Psalms 127, I'll find that. Verse number 3 says, "Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." In other words, he says, arrows in the hand of mighty men. That's what your children are, as an arrow. Now, if you think about the target, you go to shoot an arrow at a target, you need to shoot them at the target. Too many people are shooting off at an angle with their children. They're not shooting them at the target. I ask you a question. What do you want your children to be? You realize something. Somebody said, "I want my child to be a Miss America." That's what a lot of people grow them up to be. And folks, that's the wrong target. Wrong target. Somebody said, "I want my child to be a Mickey Mantle or to be a Michael Jordan or some kind of superstar." Wrong target. Wrong target. Listen, an archer does not aim away from the target and then try to turn the arrow. That'd be a crazy thought, wouldn't it, to turn that arrow back toward the target. No, he aims at the target he intends to hit. You think about it, if it's wrong when a child is 17 years old, it's wrong when he's 17 months old. You don't let your child wear shorts when they're little and then tell them it's wrong at 15. Well, most people don't even do that anyway, but they ought to. You aim them at the target. The problem is we laugh at things they do when they're small that we cry over when they get older. You need to aim them at the target. Train them up in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6 says, means touch the palate. Now, you realize something when you're feeding a child. You may give them a spoonful of something, and they get on their lips and on their tongues, and they spit it out. But if they blow it out, but you touch the palate of that child, if he likes that, then he begins to jump up and down and to at the side of the spoon. Now, I want to say this. Most children at an early age like Sunday school. They like to sing. They like to have love for the Lord Jesus. And even children that's not been to church, you tell them about Jesus, they'll talk about Him freely. So this verse is saying, touch the taste buds of a child's inner being with the Lord before they get the taste of this world. Aim him at the place you want to go and keep him up, and they'll turn out right. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.